just before I came up from Brazil, I had a bout with pneumonia, and I'm still having a bad cough, and I trust that you'll bear with me this morning. What time does this part?
Quarter of.
Quarter of? Okay. Let's look in the book of James this morning, chapter 1. Oftentimes we look at the book of James as if it were sort of a book of Proverbs in the New Testament. Just sort of isolated statements here and there. But the more I have meditated on the book of James, I've come to see the book in a different light. And I believe that chapter 1 and verse 19 is really a key passage to understanding what the book of James is all about. And here in James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Now, I want you to notice the emphasis in the second part of verse 21. Humbly accept the word. If you look back at verse 16, this will be our context here. It says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." Notice, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. When you come down to verse 22, which follows our passage, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but who does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and afterward, looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law," or into the word, "that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he was that he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Now, because of the emphasis on the word preceding verse 19 and following verse 19, I believe what James is wanting us to see in this passage is not a principle given over in a very ample way to any situation. He is speaking specifically about the word. And he says, everyone who should be quick to listen to the word, and slow to speak the word. make sure that when you speak, you are speaking the word. And thirdly, slow to become angry at what you see in that word, because oftentimes when you're looking in the mirror, you don't like what you see. Right? There was someone who said to me on one occasion, "I believe the word of God is inspired because it inspires me." Well, I says, there are plenty of things in the word of God that don't inspire me. But it is still the word of God. It is still the word of God. So I believe that when he says, don't be angry when you listen to what the word of God is saying to you, because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. What will bring about that righteous life is how you respond to the word. And the word will make this difference in your life. Now, the reason why I believe that this is a key passage in the book of James is because I believe it outlines the book for us. If you look at chapters 1 and 2, he is really asking us to be quick to listen to what God is saying to us through his word. Look at verse 2. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know." What do we know? This is an expression that can go backwards or forwards here. And if it goes backwards, when we are going through trials in our life, it is absolutely necessary that we bring to mind things that we know that we have been taught in the Word of God, that we have studied for ourselves, we have meditated upon this, and what God is doing in this testing is that he is giving me an opportunity to see how what he is saying is in his word really functions when you put it into practice in your life. Here's your opportunity, God is saying. Here is your opportunity. Now, when you read it in the other direction, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And the word perseverance gives the concept of being able to stand up under a trial until God is able to make you realize the purpose of this trial. And when you stand up under this trial, it says perseverance must finish its work. You don't want to abort this process. You don't want to come to a place in your testing where you said, "God, I've had enough." No, he says, don't abort the process. He says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So what I believe James is talking about in this passage, when you're going through trials, listen to what God's word has to say. This is what will carry you through. This is what will use the trial as a means of building up your faith and developing your Christian life and bringing you to spiritual maturity. God is giving you an opportunity to take what you know from God's word and put this into practice, and you will see that God's word is the most important thing that you could ever allow to take place in your life and be worked out in your daily living. When you come to verse 13, he changes the scene from one of testing to one of temptation. Now, what has happened in this passage is that the word for trials and the word for temptation is the very same word. But it all depends on how you face these situations in your life. And when you're being tempted, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. How do I know that? Well, I know it because of the Word. It's the Word that teaches me this. And if you look down in the very context, it says in verse 16, what the Word really teaches you about God is that, don't be deceived, my dear brothers, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That's what God is like. God is not one who tempts you. God is one who sends down to you every good and perfect gift from above. It takes me back to the book of Genesis, and when Adam and Eve sinned against God, God came looking for them in the cool of the day, as he had done so often, seeking fellowship with them. And he had to ask the question, Adam, where are you? What happened? Why aren't you here? Why aren't you ready to listen to what I have to say today? And he says, well, it was the woman. So easy to pass the buck, isn't it? But in saying that, he wasn't just saying it was the woman's fault. He was saying it was God's fault. I didn't ask for this woman. I didn't ask to be brought under a deep sleep and have one of my ribs taken from me and transformed into a woman. I'm not responsible for that. You made this woman, not me. And you can see that he is blaming not only his wife, he is blaming God for tempting him in this way. When God turns to Eve, Eve says, God says, well, Eve, what about your story? She says, it was the serpent. I didn't make the serpent. You made the serpent. Even if I could make a serpent, I could never make a serpent talk. You did that. That's all your fault. And how easy it is to blame God. Why have you done this to me? Why now? What have I done to merit this? And we do blame God. But he says, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Verse 14, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire. The message that is being proclaimed in so many places today is that the problems come from without, but the answers come from within. That is not what the Bible teaches. It says that the problems come from within, and the solutions come from outside. And what he is saying here is this: but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Some form of death. where our communion with God is broken, just like it was broken with Adam and Eve, between them and God. So what I believe that James is trying to tell us in these first two chapters is just this: be sure, regardless of what situation you might be going through in life, take the time to listen to what God is saying in His Word. Okay, the second phrase that we find in James chapter 1 and verse 19 is slow to speak. Now look with me at chapter 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it takes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. So James is saying, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. Make sure that when you talk what's in God's word. Remember when Moses was passing off the scene and he passed on a book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, to Joshua, and he says, if you're going to think anything, think about what's in this book. If you're going to say anything, say what's in this book. If you're going to live anything, live by what's in this book. Don't go never to the left hand or to the right hand. You follow what's in this book. You listen to what God is saying. Before you speak, make sure that you are saying what God is saying in His Word. Now the last phrase in James chapter 1 and verse 19 is this: be slow to become angry. Well, let's go to chapter 4 of James. And it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And then he says something very, very bombastic. He says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the spirit He causes to live in us in envies intensely, but He gives more grace? And that is why the Scripture says God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So don't think that your outburst of anger will ever bring about God's justice in your life. You will only experience this justice when it says in verse 7, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I trust these thoughts might help us to understand that I believe James is really putting something across to us in a very organized manner. And we must look at these things. We must be very quick to listen to what God is saying. We must be very slow to speak unless we are sure that what we are speaking is in accord with God's word. And we must be very careful about getting angry at what God is saying in his word to us. I know that when we get up in the morning, when you look in that mirror, you don't like what you see. And you better not leave home until you make disastrous changes. And that's what God is saying. He says, when you look in my word, it's like a mirror. I know you're not going to like what you say, what you see, but it's the way I see you. And if you want to see change, then don't try to make these changes on the basis of your anger, but submit to the teachings of my word. And that is what will make the difference. May God bless.